Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming? Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we've watched were so gallantly streaming? And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 6:02 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down south now and check in with Captain Rihanna De La Cruz, see what she's up to this morning. Rihanna, good morning. What's up?
Good morning, Mickey. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, man, it's all good.
Hear your voice.
Yeah, you too. What's up, man? How you been?
Man, I can tell you this week has been a tremendous one for us here in Baffin. It's been
I heard you caught some pretty good fish this week.
This has been one of the better weeks that I've had in a while.
Cool.
And truly believe it's because of the moon phase that we were in. Truly believe it. Gosh, it started off talk about stellar, textbook. And it's funny because I didn't catch any good fish this week. All my guys caught them all. And still, I enjoy watching my guys pull in those fish. And let me tell you, our water clarity is it's very clear for Baffin, for the back of Baffin, areas where typically our water's kind of chalked up. Has a little bit more of a dirtier look to it. It's clear, mm-hmm. In areas where it's waist deep. And for me, that's not real deep. I'm real short. So in areas where I'm walking, it's waist deep. I can see my wade boots. So that's clear. That's clear for Baffin. But the reason for that is because we've had such a productive summer. We've had a lot of rain. We've got a lot of grass growth. Our salinity level's low. It's promoting all the grass growth. And so our ecosystem right now is absolutely plentiful and healthy. We saw quite a few menhaden this week. We're still foul hooking piggy perch. We've got a plethora of ideal profile size mullet, finger mullet. We've also got, Ethan gets mentioned what the name of the specific little bait, and it looks like, a shrimp, but it's not, and it's real tiny and thin. I've seen two of those jump out, and I'm like, man, I thought they were shrimp, and he said, no, I think they're such and such. And I'm gonna have to ask him again what they were, but with
like
all that said,
sea lice or?
That's what I thought it was. It was real silver and shiny. Maybe somebody can chime in and maybe take a guess at what it is. But I'm not used to seeing stuff like that in Baffin. And these things are real shiny. But all of our bait has a clear, real silver flash silhouette type color to it. Of course, the mullet, they have the dark back, but a lot of the other bait that's in our region right now is real light. I'm sure in their silhouette that, right in their peripheral, when that bait just barely gets in their peripheral and makes a little flash, I'm sure they're striking right on it. But that's what we're seeing right now, and
right.
It's really, really good to see. I mean, they've got, like I always say, they've got the whole menu available to them right now, and so a lot of folks are like, well, why would they go for our bait? And I'm like, well, because it's an easy target. You know, we're working our lures a lot differently than what all the bait fish is moving. Like, they're moving naturally. They can boogie on out real quick. Our lures, we're deliberately dropping them on bottom. And I will say this, all of our fish this week were caught way on the lower column, and they were caught out deep. And when I say deep, for me, it's waist deep, you know, and I had a couple of tall guys today, not today, but I mean this week, and I would put them out there, and they were just letting that lure fall to bottom. And it started out on Monday. I had a group of three, and so we were able to spread out and dissect a shoreline and work it parallel. And so we worked that shoreline for a long time. Usually I'll give them the best opportunity in an area, and I'll go way up shallow. 'Cause it just, this week and even in previous weeks, it seems like we haven't been catching them way up shallow. Yeah. At least for me and my guys, we haven't been catching them way up shallow. So most of our bites have been out on, you know, little drop-offs or out past the grass line where, you
know,
past.
That makes sense, yeah.
Well, that's just the trend that we're seeing over here, Mickey. I mean, I don't know if a lot of other folks are seeing the same thing, but I know for the areas that we've been focusing on, out deeper and further out from grass lines, you know, basically.
Right.
In areas where I always say it's a bunch of nothingness, you know, I mean, where it's just a bunch of, you know, hundreds and hundreds of yards of sand, you know, it's nothing. There's no undulation, there's no structure change. And I always tell people the bait is our structure in a lot of these areas. That's what we've got right now. Our bait is our structure. And so we're focusing on areas that have bait like that. And of course, pelicans have been hovering over these bait lines, and a lot of it hasn't been real condensed, like I've seen in previous years, where a bait line is real condensed and then it's wind driven and they'll push that bait line, you know, a certain way depending on the wind. A lot of that bait is scattered, and so you're really having to dissect an area thoroughly. And so if you've got fewer waders, what we're doing is we're kind of zigzagging through
areas.
Yeah,
that's what you do.
Of course,
you cover it all.
Yep. And of course, if, you know, here lately I've been having some bigger groups, and so we're able to really pick out and fish these areas thoroughly. And sure enough, let me tell you, the majority of the bites, the bigger quality bites, have been out deep.
Yeah.
And out deep to where, you know, where I'm borderline comfortable at being. Because when I set my hook, I set it real low. And sometimes I'll run that rod tip through the water.
Yeah,
I don't like to do that.
Heard I call you that day we were fishing. I said, oh, you're a sidewinder, huh?
Yeah. Side cranker.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, those fish, they tend to come up. And I love to see a trout come up and her gills spread out and yellow mouth shaking through the water. But my main objective is to get that fish landed and to get her back as quick as possible. Of course, for a video, and for me, it's hard for me to take a video while that fish is doing all that number, because I keep her in my little bag, and it's a zipper bag. It's hard to zip it unless I have it in my pocket, my waders or something. But
yeah,
I have some friends like Kim Golden. She's got those Meta glasses, and you can just say Meta, start recording, and it'll start recording. I'm like, man, I need to get me some of those, because the amount of head shaking videos that I would have would be unreal if I was able to get it all on video. I haven't.
Yeah.
I've got a few in my database, but not very many. But on Monday, we had a bite that lasted. It lasted within about an hour. And it was game on. You better have been out there at a certain depth, throwing a certain color, and you better have your line in the water. We threw a lot of different colors at them, different profiles. We threw double Ds. We threw brighter, more bolder baits. We threw 6-inch baits. We threw Little Johns. I mean, here this week, yeah, we've been testing the waters. They've been a little picky at what's presented to them and how it's presented. But one of my guys, Chris Miller, that was fishing with me, he saw something out there and you know, a little bit out deeper. He saw bait, and I mentioned to the guys, man, I said, we've been fishing up shallow. I said, but let me tell you, most of our activity has been out there. And sure enough, Chris, he boogies on over there. I said, he's got the right mindset. And so sure enough, as soon as he hooked up, we all moved out, and he was on that line. I mean, he was on the honey hole and throwing a lighter colored bait, a rat tail. It's called Hoochie Coochie, and it's a coastal brew bait. And, you know, I know a lot of folks, you know, they have a certain brand that they like to throw. And you know, I'm the type of person that I'll throw whatever's working. You know, as long as my guys have confidence in it, as long as it's produced, and if that's what they want, then that's what we're going to throw, you know, no matter the brand or the style or the color or the profile. If it's what those fish want, you can bet that's what I'm going to be throwing. And so he caught a 7.724. So he was fishing for the Speckled Truth heavy hitters. So we actually weighed these fish. The first one he caught was 7.24, and that was like at 8 o'clock in the morning, 8:20. And then he caught another one about 20 minutes later that was 6.4. It was over 6. Mm-hmm. And that was about 20 minutes later on the same bait, same color, same line that he was fishing previously. And so he was trying to get his other friends to get out there. He's like, man, I've already caught two. Come over here and get on this. And he was like, I don't want to be that guy today catching all the fish. He was trying to share it with his guys. They actually listened, and I hope they're listening right now. It was so much fun fishing with them. I enjoy groups like that are just fun. You know, it's like, man, you know, you enjoy being around certain folks like that. And this was a great group, and they took instruction real well. And if I told them throw this, throw that, they would throw it. And they figured it out. It was that little rat tail, that 5-inch, and that Hoochie Coochie. It's real light. It's a real kind of a light. Light brown, almost like a khaki light color with a little bit silver, lighter flakes in it. It's not real bold. It's not real abrasive. It's just a little subtle presentation. And he was dragging that thing on bottom. I told him, you might want to dust that thing off bottom. Just let it fall. So the first fish, that 7.4, didn't have any lice on her. The second one did. The second fish, that 6-pounder, she had lice on her. So it's interesting to see that.
She's been laid up on the bottom somewhere.
Yes, sir. That's what I reckon as well. So
we see that a lot fish in the winter up here. A lot of these trout on their white bellies have all those leech bites, mm-hmm, or lice bites, whatever you want to call
yes.
them.
Yes.
On their white
yes.
bellies.
Yes, sir. Yeah, this fish had quite a few of them on him. And,
oh, goodness.
And I
hey,
thought,
hang
man.
On. I got to take a break. I just looked at my clock. I'm going, thought we were going kind of long. I'll be right back at you, Rihanna. Hang on.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Right. Well, Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers, located right at the base of the Texas City Dike at 227 Dike Road. And if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. and there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. Check them out firsthand at the store. They have all their different size bottles on display, their regulators, diffusers. They refill right there at the store. For more info, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And when you're by their store, check out all their wild-caught Gulf seafood. No farm-raised at Boyd's. It's all quality, live-caught and Gulf-caught. So check them out on the web at boydsonestop.com. And when you're by the store, check out their Cajun Grill right next door. They put out some really good food at good prices, and their Santa Fe food truck over in Santa Fe. Call them at 409-945-4001. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 621 here in the Bayou City. All right, Rihanna, thanks for holding. We're back.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, ma'am. You're good to go.
Okay, good deal. Good deal. Yeah, I truly believe that this week that rat tail action has been what they've been wanting. It's been the bait that's been provoking a bite. Like I said, I mean, I know one morning I switched baits probably four or five times, and these were different profiles from a provoker Little John to a little John to a Little John in a different color to down south and a root beer hopper to a Big Papa Pearl, and then eventually, soon enough, my guy caught one on a 5-inch. It's called a plum punch, but it's that same 5-inch rat tail.
Yeah.
And a darker bait. And it was a little bit chalky over there where we were. So I think that purple, it's a real dark purple, was just the action and profile that they wanted. So I ended up switching obviously after that, and I threw everything to the side for now. And and earlier that morning, one of my guys, he lost a good one on a 6-inch rat tail, which is called Pothole Pimps. That one, that dark brown, I mean dark green, it's got pink flaked, kind of real pretty pink flake in it. And I was behind him, and that fish comes up out, I mean, completely airborne. And as soon as he gets it right up to him, he's reaching back for his bogus. I saw that lure just flung right out of her mouth. I was like, oh my goodness. And rod tip up. And that's mainly one of the bigger mistakes that I see a lot with folks. You know, they keep that rod tip up, and that fish is going crazy and head shaking, and man, that's enough to do it. She's not hooked right. Just one slip, one blow, water through them gills, and head shake, and that's it. And that's just, unfortunately, that's how it goes. I've seen them come unhooked when they're in the hinge, you know. I mean, it's just it's a part of it's being lucky too. I think there's a little luck in that, because we never know where that hook is, and we're going to set the hook when we do set it. I will say this week, the bite has not been aggressive. It's not an aggressive thump where you feel it. You feel it through your rod and through your hand and through your arm. You know, it's not that. It was not that this week. It was a real subtle, like she just grabbed it, put it in her mouth, and then started inhaling it. That's how it was. And it was real subtle. So we didn't know a lot of the times when we would get bit if these were good bites or if they were little trout. And so we were yanking the jaws out of every fish that would come across our lure, because we just didn't know. You couldn't tell which one could potentially be a heavier fish until you set the hook. And I will say it, on Thursday, it was the last day that I fished this week. And I fished with Texas Parks and Wildlife. Ethan and his crew, they came along with me to tag some fish for their trout tagging program. And We started pretty early. I've been meeting my guys around at 7, when nautical sunrise is already happening, and I'm able to see when I'm going out there. And so, we have time, and I always like to take my time. And I don't run fast. I'm running 28 miles an hour down Bath. And so it takes a little while to get where we're going, especially if we're going out a little further. So it gives us time to kind of plan for the day, talk about our game plan, and really prepare before we get there. And so we get out to an area, and we know what we're looking for. I mean, we're looking for quality over quantity, especially with Ethan and his group. And Ethan's doing some fantastic things at Texas Parks and Wildlife for us here in Baffin. I'm honored to be of assistance with him in that program. And so we went out to an area and we just dissected it, and I switched baits that morning probably 6 to 8 times, and they just weren't biting for all of us. And that non-existent bite happened from the time we got out for our first wade till 9:30, till the wind picked up. When the wind picked up, Mickey, I mean, it was like a light switch turned on. I mean, yeah. It was like somebody turned a light switch on. And that's how it is. That's how it can be here in Bath. And it's so wind driven. It's really amazing how that wind has such a huge factor and role in our bite. And I've seen it multiple times in the past when you can literally see the ripples of the southeast wind coming across the bay. And as soon as it hits you, it's like, boom. Done deal, and it's game on.
Start getting bit. And you
start getting bit right away. And so Thursday, when that southeast wind picked up, it was about 9:20, and it started picking up from – it had a lot of south in it, which was really good. I prefer a south wind. I don't like it when it gets a lot of east in it. I prefer a straight south wind, a lot of south in it. And sure enough – One of the guys that was with us, he stuck one that was 26 inches, and it was about 6.5. It's just an absolute unit.
Healthy
and
fish,
she was very healthy, very healthy. No abrasions on her skin, nothing. She didn't have any lice. She was real fat, had a lot of cellulite. You could tell she was she'd been eating very healthy, and of course these fish have a lot to eat right now. They've got a buffet available to them, and so we tagged that one and whatnot, and that bite lasted from when that wind picked up till 12 o'clock. So we caught one that was 26, caught one that was 28, and we caught one, the last one was 29. And that was all within that window from about 9:20 to the last one that Ethan caught. That was his personal best. It was 29. Yeah. And all tagged, released. And right before he caught that one, I had a bite. Was the only good bite that I had all week, and just a real subtle right on the lower column. We were throwing what's called I think it's vanilla bean, and it's a light,
Holly's
clear. I know it.
Vanilla,
I know it.
Bean.
And
here we go.
I try to learn them, and I you know, it's a lot to memorize at times too. But it's a light colored bait, clear, and that's what they wanted. We threw bright colors, we threw neon colors, we threw dark colors. It's not what they wanted. They wanted clear, white colored, like a little, just a real clear flash is all they wanted. But the water was so pretty. It's so pretty right now. I mean, if we're having any kind of northerly winds, it's keeping the water clear. And we've got so much grass and Baffin right now that it's filtrating our water very nicely. So you know, at times like that, you know, maybe sometimes they're not looking for something too bold. They want just a real subtle presentation, and that's what they wanted on Thursday. And it was, we caught them all those fish on that vanilla bean type of 6-inch bait. A 6-inch bait all morning till noon. But going back, that bite that I had was real subtle, just a real subtle little bite. I didn't know what it was, but let me tell you, the bites that we weren't getting many bites, but the bites we were getting, they were of good quality. And yeah, sure enough, I set the hook on her, and she came up further out, and she boiled. And when I felt how heavy she was, I told my friend Libby, I said, "Man, Libby, I said, you might want to start easing over here." And I said, I'll just pull her in your net. And I kept her real low, and I was in about waist deep water. I was out deep, and primary sand bottom. I wasn't near there was a grass line, but it wasn't very close. I was a good ways out from it. But there were signs of bait. There were birds working in front of me. There was bait flicking out of the water. There were swirls. There were just a lot of good signs that we were just continuously seeing in this area. And so sure enough, she hit it, and she started swimming over towards the south, you know, straight to my right, you know, which was south at that time. And she came up, and when she came up, her gills were spread out. She shook three or four times, and it's like I was watching it in slow motion. I could see that hook. It was on the upper right of her mouth.
Yeah, on top of her mouth,
Yep. And when I saw it,
split that lip, man, it tears real easy right up there.
It flew right out. And oh my gosh, talk about a heartbreak when you lose a fish like that. She was solid. She was, seeing that yellow mouth open, them gills spread out right there in front of me. And of course, my friend Libby, she was right directly, like I was in line between her and that trout when she came up, so she didn't see it come up and shake its head. All she saw was my line go slack. She was like, I could hear her go, "Oh no!"
That'll do it. Yeah, well, that
happens.
Oh
my goodness!
Trout and fishing at its finest. You know, that's what it
is. And you can do everything in your power to
wasn't meant to
avoid
be.
That. Yep. Yeah, I mean, I had my rod tip down. I was cranked down on her, but you know what? When I pulled over to the right and that hook was on her left, it just had room for error. And it was like, I saw it in slow motion. She gave me like three or four chances when she shook her head to the left and right, and I saw it. I saw that hook on the upper part of her mouth, and I thought, oh man. And sure enough, it lure flung right back at me, and that was it. And I was like, oh. The
All
one
right,
that
Rihanna,
got away this
well
week.
I've got to roll out of here, girl. If somebody wants to come down and pop a wade with you, give them some info how they can reach you.
10-4, my number is 361-296-5400. My next availability is late November during a new moon. So if you want to get on some big trout, I highly recommend it. Come down to Baffin and make a wade with me.
That'll work. All right. Well, you have a good weekend. Talk to you next week. Catch them up.
Yes, sir. We'll talk to you next week, Mickey.
All right. See you then.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:39 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Matagorda now. Let's check in with our good friend, Captain Bink Grimes, Matagorda Sunrise Lodge. Bink, good morning. How are you, man?
Good Sunday morning to everybody. How's everybody doing?
Oh, man, just nursing another late night baseball hangover.
didn't
go the way
I
wanted it to, but hey, I stayed till the end.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was a good night for watch the Aggies put it on LSU.
Boy, that was You know, that's the first time they've won a game in Tiger Stadium in 31 years.
31 years. That's a hard place to play, man. That's tough.
It is. Well, they made a statement last night.
Sure did. Man, they sure did. So, yeah, it's a tough place to play. Baton Rouge is a tough place to play. Anything. Baseball, anything. Heck, the baseball team was at the White House early in the week, you know.
Right.
Getting pats on the back for their national championship. So, yeah, it's a good program. They both of them. You know, if you've ever been on the LSU campus, man, it's a lot like A&M's campus. It looks a whole lot like it. We visited when my daughter was looking at schools, and but she ended up being an Aggie, so I sent a little money for tuition to College Station for 4 years. Yeah, it was a good time though. She had a good time. So, man, we're kind of taking a day off today, but we're gonna get right back at it tomorrow.
Were y'all able to get that big multi-boat deal in yesterday?
Yeah, we were. Sure were, man. We ended up getting out at, I think we left the dock at 8:15, you know. So we didn't, you know, sunrise is about 7:30. So we normally here this time of year, we're meeting, I'm picking people up at the lodge at 7:15. It's still, you know, still dark. And we waited a little bit. I thought we were going to push it back to about 9 or 10 then. All of a sudden, man, it just, the stuff that was supposed to keep coming.
It kicked in another gear when it came through us over here. You know, it was moving real slow. Yeah. And, man, we got some wind out of it. We didn't get near the rain I'd anticipated because it just took off. It headed east, northeast, and just kept going, man.
Yeah, we ended up getting 2.5 inches. And I have 4 different rain gauges, one at the lodge, one in my marsh and all that. And, man, they all read this. And one at my house, they all read exactly the same, 2.5 inches.
Yeah, I wish we could have got that much.
And then we didn't get anything last night.
Last night was
house.
My best rainfall was last night.
Was it?
It rained pretty good, yeah.
I was trying to look at radar, and I couldn't pull it up from last night to see how much I got it in my marsh. But, man, that 2.5 inches in the marsh yesterday was
just
gold.
Just what the doctor ordered, huh? For
oh, my gosh.
How about some of that? Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, it really is. That marsh is, all it did was sweeten it up, man. I tell you, I just, you know, I heard you and James earlier in the week talking about the Gulf and what's in the, you know, just some of the things that we're seeing in the from the Gulf, you know, and me out there, you know, I tarpon fished a few days, not a whole lot, but just being out there and seeing all that big jellyfish hatch that was out there and just and
wasn't that
just
crazy?
Stuff. It was. And hadn't seen that in a while. And then, you know, when we started getting these bull tides in late September, it was about the middle of teal season. So it was about the 25th or 26th. And, man, it started flooding my marsh. And I kind of needed it because I was down around ankle deep water in there, and I try to keep that salt water out of there. I've got levees and stuff, but then you get to a certain point where, man, you better take the water that the good Lord's given you, whether it's salty or whatever. And so it started coming in. So it's been running in there for a month now. And I'm telling you, I have never seen widgeon grass grow like it has grown this year. And I don't know what it is, but if you look around Matagorda and all these little ponds that are tidal, that did not have water in them, that now have water because everything backed up. You know, the tides were just so high, and it backed up. And I'm telling you, there is widgeon grass growing everywhere. And then I talked to guys at Anahuac the same way, that they're talking about just the abundance of grass that they're seeing in their marsh. And the crazy thing about it is, you know, we grew it from September to all October. That just doesn't happen. When our nights get into the 60s, and you know, that you quit growing that stuff in the low 60s and 50s, you just quit growing that stuff. But that's the thing. We haven't had that. We've had
all those warm 70s. Days, you know, that ambient temperature never got below 150 or anything. And it just kept growing things, you know, through October.
I mean, it is. And I have never seen it so thick. And, of course, I've never run my air conditioner this long. I've never had to mow this long. Usually when you start getting into September and October, you mow about every 13, 14 days, maybe 17, 18. Yeah. Oh, man, it's still a 5-6, you know, 5 or 6 days a week, you know, a month. And so, golly, but anyway, that's the bright spot of it all. And I can't wait to, and all that does is just makes them hang on, man. Golly, it just gives them something to get through the winter and kind of if you couldn't spread corn, you know, a lot of the old outlaws that used to put corn in ponds and all that kind of stuff, you couldn't corn wouldn't do justice to this, you know. So we're looking forward to it. Still birds are starting to trickle in right now. It's not hot and heavy. It's not you know, mind blowing how many birds we have, you know, but it's enough right now. But I, you know, heck, things could change with this little front we're got coming, I guess, Tuesday or Wednesday. You know, things could change because, I mean, they've had no reason to migrate, you know, yet, really. And I saw
there's still hummingbirds hanging around, man.
Sure, sure. That's right.
I took my feeders down so they'd get on out of here and migrate, and they're still looking.
Yeah, I did see a good sign, and I saw my first white pelican on Friday. So, you know, people don't know that. White pelicans migrate, you know.
Yeah, they do.
Browns don't. They stay. But when you start seeing white pelicans, they're usually ahead of the big duck migration every year, about two or three days is what I see. But I saw the first one. I hadn't seen a big group, but I saw the first one sitting in my marsh on Friday. So I said, oh, okay, good. And stuff starting to pick up on the prairie and El Campo and Wharton and all that, Wharton County, people are starting to see more birds up there on the high ground. So, but we're not seeing the birds on the bay yet, you know? So, it'll come, and it may come all of a sudden this week. You know, I love, that first front in October, which we usually get it in the middle of October, but it seems like we're always in West Bay, and we're always somewhere around Oyster Lake, and see those. You'll be looking at, you just start just to see a big migration, you know, and a lot of those birds are overshoot, you know, and coming from the north, and they'll go past the peninsula and hit the Gulf and put the brakes on. Oh, shoot. And come back north, you know.
Well, especially the hawk migration was a couple of weeks later than it normally is this year, you know. Red-tailed hawks.
Once they get here, habitat is in good shape. And even though we got the 2.5 inches of rain, man, you really can't, man, it soaked it up so quick. So, you know, water is at a premium for duck hunters this year. So if you've got it, you know, I think you're going to be in the driver's seat. So, I hope we get more because, you know, the birds need it to sustain. And you don't want to, if you get too dry, you don't want to see cholera sit in like, you know, these birds. When we used to have a lot of geese, they'd sit on those roosts.
Yeah, remember all those cholera kills back in the days when it'd be dry, you know, a drought winter, and man, the ponds that they were using, they just destroyed them.
They did. They just kept going back to them, and then you just start seeing, you know, white birds just falling out, and yeah, that was a bad deal.
That's nasty. Cholera.
It is. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna fish all week and then switch gears and
hunt all weekend.
Hunt a little bit. So yeah. I don't think on Saturday I think shooting time is about 7:05, so I don't think we do live from the blind on Saturday.
No, we'll
we can
Sunday. Yeah, I'll pop you Sunday. That'll work. because time Sunday change.
Time change, yeah. We'll be shooting at 6:05 on Sunday.
I get an extra hour sleep Sunday. Next Sunday.
You sure do. Yeah. So, in fact, we got big groups coming in this week. In fact, I'm working for Wade and the Rusty Hook on Wednesday and Thursday.
He's Are
got
you?
A big group over. Yeah, yeah. He got a big group over there. So we're going to do that. And just taking a day. Shoot, I had to put my apron on and be the chef last night. My cook, she told me a month ago, look, I got to do a wedding. You're going to have to take it. So I had to get the old spatula out and get the sunrise special doing like I used to 15 years ago. We served those, you talk about at the Belleville meat market, those La Boucherie, stuffed chickens. I smoked
boy, those are good,
and,
aren't they?
God, oh, man, they're, yeah, but we first started, that was our signature meal back, 15 years ago. We'd have the jambalaya stuff, then I'd make a etouffee and put it over the top. That's what we served last night. And then a little red beans and rice for appetizer, a little boudin egg roll, and then my wife's banana pudding for
Well, I'm glad I'm getting
dessert.
Off of here in about 5 minutes. I'm getting hungry. Lynn Smith got my appetite whetted with oysters and fried fish, and now you're messing with me with these stuffed chickens. And
I talked to my oyster guy this week, Try, big old buddy's boy, and Tyler, and they're wanting it to get colder too, so these oysters are fattening up, because it'll open up November 1st, and with this, he said, same deal with this, as hot as it's been, they won't be in the best shape, so we're I got him set up for the sunrise Christmas party. He always brings his shuckers, and we serve fresh oysters. But man, all that's going to crank up on Saturday, oyster season.
Yeah, so, I know it. Everything is.
I don't like eating. I don't like. Season. Yeah, I don't like eating oysters when I'm sweating either. So I'm ready to put on a hoodie and stuff. I'm ready to eat some oysters.
I'm telling you.
That's all kicks off. So I'll get you a nice gallon when I head down around there for Christmas.
You brought me last year for Christmas. My gosh.
Yeah, Matagorda Bay oysters. It's hard to beat. Buddy's seafood oysters down here, man.
I like the way they come in those bags like that.
Yeah, and that's the difference. And a lot of our oysters down here cost a little more, but the whole deal is they're giving us seven, I think they put 7.3 pounds of oysters in a gallon. And if you really look, there's a lot of folks in Port Lavaca that they sell a lot of oysters, and their oysters are always cheaper. It's the same oyster coming, but they're
probably more like
them,
a 5 pound gallon.
Yeah. Well, four and a half to five. Yeah. And I mean, that's a big, and
it's
so
all
they're
juice in that bucket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
remember
that's
when
the
we
difference.
Used to get those oysters years ago, they'd come in a tin can.
Tin can, yeah.
Like a paint can.
Mm-hmm. Sure would. But that's the difference, they're all coming from the, a lot of them, same place. But when one's a little cheaper than the other one, just put it on a scale and you'll see why.
You'll see why. But, exactly.
Mm-hmm. You'll see why. Kind of like, buying shrimp from off the boat, or buying it from one of the brokers that's already headed them out for you and all that, that water weighs, and that way they sell them sometimes is a deceptive practice. So anyway, we're hoping that, we lost that water Wednesday, lost it and thought it was going to really kick things off. And then we got it all back. We got that water back on Thursday.
Well, that wind started coming back up out of the southeast and the east, and man, it just pumped water in like crazy. Boy, it was bulled up over here.
It was bulled up yesterday for us too. Same deal. Went after redfish because it had just blown kind of the bay upside down, and man, it caught trout in places we were trying to catch redfish because the water was so bulled up, you know.
Right.
They trout got back in that back stuff, but we finally got a flush on Wednesday. I mean, a flush. It fell Wednesday. We thought,
well,
okay,
we'll get
here
one
we
this
go.
Week.
Yeah, we will. We will. We'll start getting those
pretty strong,
I think it's
north
supposed
winds,
to blow pretty
good. And get some water out of here and stack them fish up in a few places and go get them, man.
Yeah, yeah. But we've still, you know, it's been steady. It hadn't been easy on the trout, but we've been catching them, been picking at them and catching them. But like I said, we're just kind of biding our time.
No doubt.
There's going to be afternoon fishing after hunting. I'm telling you, in November.
I like afternoon fishing in the winter. That's my favorite.
I do too.
All right, brother. Well, Bink, somebody wants to come down and board up and fish up. How do they get a hold of you, man?
Yeah, 979-241-1705. Call or text in MatagorderSunriseLodge.com. Everybody have a good Sunday. And, man, we need the Texans to win today.
Yeah, well, don't hold your
breath.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's well, they're going to be playing spoiler the rest of the year, the way I look at it. I'll just leave it at that. How about that?
Something's got to change big time on that offensive team.
That's it. go Blue Jays. All right, buddy. Hey.
Later on.
Thanks, Bink. See you, buddy.
Okay.
Later.
All right.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back Thursday morning, bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.